Mr. Udon Iman.
Today's a gospel that we've heard many, many times. And when looking at the story, we see this rich young ruler go to Christ and ask him a very important question. He says, good teacher, how do I inherit eternal life? And from, if we kind of zoom out and we look at this story, we look at this person, what kind of person do we think he is? He's a really good person. He's a good person. He even showed his goodness, it was revealed when Christ started the conversation with him, when he responded to him. He says, why do you call me good? And then he says, you know the commandments. And he names the commandments. And his response was, I've been doing this since I was young. My parents taught me, I'm ready. I've known all the commandments. He's a good person. Like, if you think about this, sometimes we look at the story and we only think about the ending. But we have to start with the beginning. Like, if any of our kids, like, one of the commandments he follows is honor your father and your mother, right? Like, he was a good child. He listened to Baba and Mama. He followed the rules. He didn't do bad sins, right? He was a good guy. And most importantly, he had great intention. Very, very good intention. He ran. The Bible said he ran to Christ. It says now he was going on the road. One came running and knelt before him. He saw Christ and knelt before him and said, good teacher, how do I inherit eternal life? He has an important question. He has a real desire to inherit eternal life. This is a great thing. If we stop here, this is beautiful. This is a great lesson for us to seek after eternal life. To seek after who can give us eternal life. To have that positive intention. But then things change a little bit after the conversation. He says, after Christ named a few of the commandments, and he responded confidently, says, teacher, all these I have observed from my youth. And then this is the part that I want to really focus on. It says, then Jesus, looking at him, loved him and said to him, one thing you lack. One thing you lack. He said, I follow all these commandments. Everything you mentioned, it's not even recently. From my youth, I grew up with these commandments. This is easy. I've done this. What else do I need to do? How else, like what's missing? And Christ said, there's one thing that's missing. What is that one thing that's missing? Many times, we all have good intention. The fact that we're here today in liturgy on a Sunday, like we have 2 days off, and we spend one of them waking up early and coming to church. Good intention. And we all come, and we have this question in our heart, good teacher, how do I inherit eternal life? This is what we want. We want an eternal life. This is why we partake of his body and blood, because he is eternal life. So we want that. That's why we're here. But then Christ is telling us, one thing you lack. Now, how do we figure out that one thing that we lack? The first thing we have to see is we have to be honest with ourselves. We have to be honest with ourselves. There's always one thing. It could be multiple things, but there could be something in our life that's stopping us from really having that relationship with Christ, for really being able to inherit eternal life. Remember, it's an inheritance. It's given to us. It's a gift. It's not something you can earn. He's not giving him a formula on what he needs to do to earn it. You can't earn it. It's a grace. It's given to us. But he says, one thing you lack. We have to be honest with ourselves and ask, what are the things that we lack? What are the things that we lack in our life? And truly, this is one of the hardest things in Christianity. To be able to be exposed, to be able to say, okay, what needs to be fixed? What are the things I need to change in my life in order for me to be on the right track? Because again, from the outside perspective, if we stopped before this verse, you're like, this is a good guy. How do I inherit eternal? You're on the right track. Keep it going. Keep following the commitment. You're fine. You're doing well. But Christ looked at him and loved him. And because Christ loves us, he points out the thing in our life that we lack. The struggle, the thing that in our life that's stopping us. It could be a specific sin. It could be one sin, it could be multiple sins. These sins that are really, like, these are the sins in our life that we ignore, like this is too hard to stop. I'm going to do everything else good, but I can't stop this sin. Or it can be certain friendships, certain lifestyle choices, certain relationships. Whatever this one thing, but he mentions, he says, you lack it. It's something missing. For this man, it was go your way, sell whatever you have and give to the poor, and you will have a treasure in heaven, and come take up the cross and follow me. It seems like a lot. There's one thing you lack, and then he gives a big instruction. But it's all related. He looked at the man and loved him. And because he looked at him and loved him, he realized in this man, there was a deficiency. There was something off. He needed to sell what he had and give to the poor. And not just that. Come carry your cross and follow him. Follow me. Why? Because when he looked at this man, he was willing to follow the commandments, but he wasn't willing to sacrifice. He wasn't willing to sacrifice. A Christian without sacrifice is not a Christian. Because Christ showed us. He says, come, pick up your cross, and follow me. What does that mean? What does the cross symbolize? The cross represents sacrifice. It represents giving of our will for his will. This is why even Christ in the Garden of Gethsemane says, if you may let this cup pass from me, not my will, but your will. Even Christ, he showed us, not just in word, but in action, the ultimate and the true sacrifice. A Christian without sacrifice is lacking. So the first thing we have to understand is there may be things in our life that is lacking, but we have to go seek it. Christ looked at him and loved him, and because he loved him, he pointed out those things. How do we find out what's lacking? Spend time with Christ. He will reveal it to you. This man could have been doing all the commandments, he's given the best person, knew all the Sunday school answers. This guy was an A student, if we're comparing it to school. He was a great kid. He knew all the hymns. He was a deacon. He was great. He's great. But he lacked something. And Christ is pointing out and saying, I love you. Fix this part. You're missing this part. And if we truly want to inherit eternal life, intention is not good enough. Intention is one step, but the next thing is ask God to reveal it to you. Spend time with God. Go to your father in confession. Be honest. Reveal yourself so that you can see what is missing in your life. The second thing is, if you notice, when this man asked Christ himself wasn't condemning his wealth. Didn't say, oh, it's because you're rich. It's because you have money. But he was exposing the heart. He was exposing the heart. It has nothing to do with the amount of money. It has nothing to do with the amount of money or the amount of possessions or the nice car, or the nice house. It has nothing to do with that. It's our attachment to those things. For this man, he was attached. For him, it was the one thing he lacked. So why is attachment to things, attachment to possessions, attachment to money, attachment to whatever, a problem? Notice what he says here. When he was talking to the disciples later, he says, children, how hard it is for those who trust in riches to enter the kingdom of God. It's the trusting of the riches that are a problem. Because if I trust in riches, what am I saying? I'm not trusting in God. If I'm trusting in riches, I'm not trusting in God. If I trust in what I have, I'm not trusting in the person who allows me to have it. And so this requires honesty. This requires us to say, okay, what's the problem here? What did Christ ask him to do? He asked him to sacrifice. And he asked him to tithe. To tithe. To give. To donate. This concept sometimes has been watered down. And it's become hard for us to tithe because we start justifying things. We look at maybe situations, we say, oh, well, my situation is hard right now, I'm not going to be able to tithe. When we understand tithing as a financial decision, that's a problem. Tithing is a spiritual concern. Tithing is spiritual. It's just like when we pray, when we fast, and we tithe. That's why those are the pillars that we start when we start Great Lent. Tithing is spiritual. It's not an act, it's not a financial decision. It's not sitting here and saying, okay, well, sitting here and counting 10%. Yes, Christ gives us a structure to help us. But it's not based on a situation. The same, we don't just thank God when things are going well in our life. We thank God in the good and the bad. We pray in the good and the bad. We tithe in the good and the bad. Tithing is a spiritual act. To the point where if we are not tithing, that's a sin. That's a sin. That's something that we have to go confess and work on. That's a missing of the mark. That's something that shows that we are trusting in the finances. We're trusting in the bank account. We're trusting in the income. But we're not trusting in God. It's our responsibility to give. Now, when you tithe, who are you giving to? You're giving to God. You're giving to God. Sometimes this is a part of the hard thing that we think about. Sometimes we want to see where the money goes. We give it to God and God takes care of it. We give to the church and that's it. The idea is that we trust in God, and because we trust in God, we give out of our heart. We give from our heart. God does not want a portion of our love. He wants it all. And a big part of that is to be able to say, God, here you go. I will sacrifice from what I have. And it's silly to say that. Because that's like if I ask my kids if I can play with one of their toys. Right? If they say, no, it's mine. That sounds silly. Why? Because I'm the one who brought it. It's not like they went to the store and bought it. I bought the gift and I gave them the gift so they can play with it and enjoy it and use it. Isn't that what we do with God when He provides for us? The fact that we have jobs and we receive money, and then God is saying, okay, give, sacrifice. And you're like, no, it's mine. So it's important for us. For some of us, that is the one thing we lack. We can go to church, we can know the hymns, we can know the scripture left and right, but we're not willing to give to God. The fathers are they speak very harshly about this. They speak about it in a way where if you are not giving to God, you're actually stealing from Him. And so it's just a matter of how we approach, what is our mindset. Lastly, last thing about this point, St. Irenaeus says, we give to Him not because He needs, but that we may not become ungrateful. It's an act of gratefulness. When we give, we are showing that we are grateful to God. Grateful for what we have. Lastly, it requires us to follow Him. It's not a one-time thing. It's a lifestyle. When this man asked to inherit eternal life, he didn't just say, okay, go sell all that you have and give to the poor. He says, carry your cross and come follow me. Follow this path. Come with me. It requires a life. It's what's really interesting is, and I didn't notice it until this time when I was preparing, that later on in the same passage, in verse 28, it says, then Peter began to say to him, see, we have left all and followed you. It was as if St. Peter was listening to what was happening, the interaction, and said, look, we did it. We left all. We left all and followed you. But what happened to St. Peter at the end? What happened to all the apostles at the end? There was a sacrifice that was given, an ultimate sacrifice. Following Christ is not easy. It's not easy. It's simple because He gives us a path, but it's not easy. There's struggles. This is why God gives us the fast, this Advent fast, any of the fasts, to really slow down. And honestly, I'll be very honest, this fast is harder than any fast, I think. Yes, people will respond, no, Abuna, we can have sushi. Like, how can it be hard? It's easy. But it's not about the food. It's a hard mindset to have during this time. We started off with Thanksgiving, with gatherings, a bunch of friends' givings and grads' giving and every giving and all the meals in the church. And then then you have to decorate for Christmas immediately. And before that, all the Black Friday deals and the Cyber Monday, all that. All the deals. And then we decorate for for Christmas, and then we get the tree, and then we do the lights, and then more parties. And then New Year's. So it's a very hard fast. It's very hard because we're not slowing down. Lent, everything stops. The whole world stops. And we're focused. But Advent, it's like, it's very hard to slow down, to pray, to truly examine our hearts. So I pray, as we go towards the end of the year, we slow down. We find some time in this fast to slow down and to ask God, what are the things that we lack? What are the things that are stopping me from inheriting eternal life? As we said, it's not about intention. We all have good intention. That's why we're here. But there's a life that we have to live. And glory be to God forever. Amen.